Hey, everybody, welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. This is producer Andrew Colvett filling in for Charlie Kirk. Honored, as always, to be behind the microphone. We've got Amber Athey from Spectator. She's also the host of All the News That's Unfit to Print. Check it out. She does an amazing job. Lives in the swamp, so you don't have to report on all the goings on there. She does a tremendous job. We talk about baby formula. What is causing the shortage? What exactly? She went into detail on it and breaks it all down from FDA to Abbott facilities to supply chain shortages and what the White House's response is to it. We also have Tracy Robinson, the director of The Matter of Life, the new pro-life film that couldn't be timed any more perfectly. She comes in and explains how she got converted to the pro-life movement. I think it's an important story, and it's revelatory for all of you out there that want to help the pro-life movement, want to help this country become more pro-life. You're not going to want to miss it, and you're going to want to get behind this film in a big way. I promise you that. Everybody, jam-packed episode. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com.
I am so excited to bring our next guest on to the show. She's been a longtime friend of mine. She does tremendous work. Amber Athey, she's the Washington editor, The Spectator, and she is the host of the Unfit to Print podcast. Amber, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, Amber, you are unfortunately living in the swamp. So we, you know, I can't remember, really not one to talk. I live in California, the People's Republic. So, you know, here we are. We're slumming it in Blueville. But nevertheless, you have been doing some tremendous work. I mean, really, since you became the Washington editor of The Spectator, I've been paying really close attention. You were obviously at the Daily Caller before that. But you've been doing tremendous work. Tell us about this baby formula shortage. All right. So this is now, you know, something we were hearing about, like little whispers about for a little while. And now it seems like it's exploding onto the scene. What's going on? What's behind it? Tell us what's happening here.
Yeah, just until a couple of days ago, this was a really undercovered story. No one was really paying attention outside of the parents who were, of course, scrambling to find food for their babies. And now it seems to really have exploded onto the media scene, thanks to the work of a few moms out there who are really just very vocal about this on social media. And what's happening is there's a massive shortage. About 40% of the normal market for baby formula is basically non-existent right now. And that's due to a couple of reasons. Some of it is the leftover supply chain issues from the pandemic and the lockdowns. But there was also a major recall of one of the largest domestic manufacturers' products. They're called Abbott. They're based out of Michigan. And the FDA had this investigation a couple of months ago and pulled most of their product off the market. But oddly enough, Abbott says, you know, we fixed the issues with our formula, and yet the FDA has not given us approval to start producing product again. And so that's contributing to this shortage. And the federal government hasn't really provided an answer as to what they're going to do to make sure that parents can feed their babies. Right now, parents are describing driving from store to store, three or four different stores, just to get enough formula for the week. And it's really a tragic situation.
Yeah. On that note, I want to play a cut here that basically expresses exactly that. Cut 88. This is a newborn mother. Now, I've had two children. When you have a newborn in the home, it is especially if it's your first, it's a terrifying situation. Even if you're breastfeeding, all of that sort of thing, you want that formula as backup. If you're not able to breastfeed, then formula becomes, I mean, critical to the life of your child. You can have developmental issues if your child becomes malnourished. Cut 88, let's just hear it from a mother herself.
We had to go to 3 different stores. That's why we're here today. It's still scary sometimes thinking that, okay, we have maybe 2 bottles left and we have to go get formula and we might not find it.
So, Amber, I mean, it's heartbreaking to hear that because, again, as a father with 2 young children, I know what that feels like when you're like, is my kid hungry? You know, it's a terrifying prospect to think that you might not be able to get formula for your child. Now, this, again, seems like an instance where the administration has been caught flat-footed. They don't ever seem to be out in front of an issue. What are we hearing from the White House response on this?
Yeah, the Biden administration's response to this has been really lackluster. They actually didn't even really talk about it publicly until a few days ago when Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked about this during a press briefing. And she basically pushed the issue onto the FDA, which is understandable. It's under their purview. But also as the White House, when you're trying to lead a country and you have people who are worried about where their baby's going to get their next meal, you have to have an answer for that. When somebody asks you about it. And so they haven't really indicated that they're going to be making any major policy changes to address this. Some people have suggested that the Biden administration should add baby formula to the national emergency stockpile, but that's a longer term solution. People need baby formula now. And so people really want to know, what is the Biden administration doing to work with domestic manufacturers to make sure that they are producing at the highest levels possible? When is the FDA going to allow this Abbott plant to reopen? They haven't even given them a date of when that's possible. So this is an issue where, once again, they are really leading from behind and responding to crises that could have been avoided if they had been aware of them much earlier and working to mitigate this problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think we actually have a cut here, cut 87. This is the White House getting asked about the baby formula shortage, cut 87.
Is this a turning point on the formula issue at the White House? You mentioned the White House is involved.
I mean, at the White House, I don't know. I can find out for you and get you a person who's running point, but I don't have a person in name.
That's Karine Jean. You know her
Pierre.
Name.
But Pierre,
yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so the future White House press secretary. You know, so we come from an administration, in the Trump administration, which has something called Operation Warp Speed. We have, you know, where it feels like the entire administration has, you know, gasoline poured over it. Somebody's about to light the match. If we don't get, you know, a vaccine in that instance, and we can debate the efficacy of a vaccine. That's not my point here. The point is warp speed. Everything got done at Trump speed, as Peter Navarro often, has said. And now we come to this where she's laughing about it. And she doesn't even know who the point person is. Is this something that we can expect to see the White House, in your estimation? I mean, you know the White House. You've covered it. You've been in those press briefing rooms. Is this something that you're hearing rumblings that they're going to get on it? Or are we still in the dark?
We're still in the dark. And listen, this is an administration that constantly laughs at real concerns that American people have. When Jen Psaki was first asked about supply chain issues ahead of Christmas, she sort of infamously said that this is about the tragedy of the treadmill that's delayed, not even acknowledging that the rising prices and shortage of goods is a real problem for families, not just for, you know, little things that they want for Christmas, but for things that they need in order to take care of their families. And then Pete Buttigieg responded to issues of gas prices by telling everybody to just go out and buy a Tesla, as if it's really that simple. So this is the answer again and again, is to mock, deride, and condescend to people who are struggling with real issues. This administration is very out of touch with the concerns of everyday Americans, and they don't seem to be making any effort to change that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think you're going to start seeing that, especially, you know, I don't want to make too big of an issue of the race thing, but, you know, we played that clip of the mother. She looked to me probably Hispanic. You're seeing poll after poll after poll that is showing that the Democrats' grip over the minority communities, minority voters, is slipping. It's slipping because of the woke agenda, the trans agenda, the parental rights controversies. And it's now going to be slipping because a lot of the people that they're hurting in these states, so you said 40% of the formula is unavailable in certain states. In some states, it's 50, 55, 60% now. Some states are getting hit really hard. Now, these states, you know, if you've got a whole voter contingency that is minority, lower income, these are the people that are going to be really struggling with that. They're not able to get the designer baby formula or afford it, especially with inflation. We're going to start seeing the minority vote slipping away. And I think we are seeing that in poll after poll. I think the Republicans, especially right now, are doing a poor job of seizing on this momentum, especially the baby. I haven't heard the Republicans, to be perfectly fair. Is there anybody leading the charge in Washington on the baby formula shortage?
Yeah, I will say that Senator Tom Cotton has come out very strongly about this and has been urging the Biden administration to take stronger action. He's appropriately referred to this as a crisis. But to your point about, you know, how this affects low income and minority communities, the number one issue for voters heading into the midterms is not Roe v. Wade, it's not Ukraine, it's not any of these made up issues that the Democrats, you know, seize on and use to try to appeal to really woke identity politics related groups. The number one issue for voters is the economy and inflation.
That's right.
And if the Biden administration doesn't get their act together, then they're in even bigger trouble than polls are currently showing.
Look, did you get hit with a big tax bill you were not expecting? With rates still being very low and home equity being high, it's the perfect time to refinance and get some cash out of your home. Look, you could go to one of these woke banks, Citibank, Chase, where they hate you, they hate the country, and they hate Christianity. Or you could refinance right now all of your mortgage needs with my friends. Guess what? It's so easy to remember the website, andrewandtodd.com. Just write it now, andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. They're people I know and trust and work with them, and you should too. Just go to andrewandtodd.com. It takes 30 seconds to answer a couple of questions. This gives them the information they need to give you valuable information, often on the first call. Andrew and Todd, they are not brokers. They are bankers, which means they handle your loan from start to finish, so you always have someone in your corner. Take that first step towards getting that cash you need today. andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com, or call 888-888-1172, 888-888-1172. Do not use the banks that hate you. Use Andrew and Todd. They will do a great job for you, everybody. andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com.
We're talking about, Amber, we're talking about the Biden administration's struggles with the minority communities. And I want to play a cut here as we transition to this Roe conversation. Cut 90. This is Janet Yellen talking about how abortion really helps the minority community. Cut 90.
In many cases, abortions are of teenage women, particularly low income and often Black, who aren't in a position to be able to care for children, have unexpected pregnancies, and it deprives them of the ability often to continue their education to later participate in the workforce.
What's your reaction to that, Amber?
It's really disheartening and disturbing, the warped logic that these people use to justify killing children. I mean, getting abortions is good for the Black community. How is that possible when you're basically slaughtering your future generations of children? It's just really mind blowing. And I think this attitude towards unborn children, as well as the general lack of concern from the Biden administration about this baby formula shortage, just is a reflection of society's larger neglect of children and children's health. Okay. We saw it during the pandemic with forcing kids to mask or forcing kids to get vaccinated when they were the lowest risk group for the virus. And people didn't care that this was going to stunt their development or potentially harm them. This is all part of one larger trend of being just generally an anti-child society.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. And, you know, we were talking in the break here about just how out of touch this Democrat Party feels. I mean, you've got Secretary Yellen there basically parroting lines from Margaret Sanger. I mean, it's the founder of Planned Parenthood. I mean, this is they're so out of touch. And I think you had a really good take on that. You live in the swamp, Amber. What I mean, why are they so just brazenly tone deaf?
To me, the Biden administration and its most public-facing officials are just the stereotype of the D.C. rich white liberal who is so insulated from people who live average lives and have struggles that they're in this bubble with each other, and they focus on these really strange issues that really don't resonate for most people who live in the country. They're the type of people who have like the sign outside of their house that says, you know, in this house, we believe Black Lives Matter and science is real. And then they have a Ukraine flag hanging up above their door. And meanwhile, they live in neighborhoods where they've probably never even met a Black person besides somebody who might come to their house to like deliver a UPS package. This is the type of person that we have put in the Biden administration, and they're in charge of making policy for the rest of the country, even though they have no idea the types of lives that most people live outside of this little beltway area.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they've purposefully insulated themselves. I think they live in a silo. I think there is very little outreach to other communities. I mean, when Biden goes on when he finally ventures out into the great wild American landscape, he goes to visit the folks at Raytheon and commends mm-hmm. them on their capacity increases to supply javelins in Ukraine. Meanwhile, you've got mothers who can't get formula. You've got Secretary Yellen complimenting abortion, basically promoting abortion because it helps kill Black babies. I don't know where they go from here. I don't know how they fix this, but it certainly seems to me that there must be, as out of touch as they are, Amber, there must be some sense of panic. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, I think that there is. And I just want to say really quick that establishment Republicans are guilty here too. We have Elise Stefanik celebrating about being ultra MAGA after half of the party just voted to send $40 billion or perhaps $1 million to Ukraine as people are struggling to find baby formula. It is really a problem of the entire swamp, not just one party. And the media is complicit in this too. They are the same type of beltway rich liberals that really have no concern for the real struggles of the average American family.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we covered this a little bit in hour one, but this is a bipartisan consensus. This is people on both sides of the aisle are leaders that don't get it, that are disconnected, that are tone deaf. And this is why it's not just about RVD. It's about we have to get American first candidates that understand that we need to start putting the interests of mothers who cannot get baby formula ahead of the interests of anything else. That is our number one duty here in the United States of our elected leaders. And we need to start making them pay if they don't reflect those values.
The fight for the unborn is raging in our country. And an unprecedented leak from the Supreme Court indicates that Roe v. Wade is on the brink of being overturned. During this critical time, a new movie is about to release. The award-winning film, The Matter of Life, cuts through the rhetoric and hatred and exposes the real issues surrounding the plight of the unborn. The Matter of Life will be in theaters nationwide for two nights only, May 16th and May 17th. If you care about protecting the unborn, this is a movie you will not want to miss. Go to fathomevents.com right now to reserve your tickets for a theater near you for May 16th or May 17th and have your own life transformed as you watch The Matter of Life. That's FATHOM events.com, fathomevents.com. This is a battle taking place in America. Whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, you need to see this film. FATHOM events.com, fathomevents.com.
So I warned you guys, I have a jam-packed show today, and I certainly do. We have Tracy Robinson, director of the new film, the pro-life film, The Matter of Life. Tracy Robinson, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thanks for having me.
It's an honor to have you. I mean, I was getting prepped for this segment. I was, you know, asking your team. I was like, so what is she? Is she the director and they're like, yeah, she's the director, the writer, the producer, the executive producer. She financed the film. Before we launch into it, I want to play just a quick promo from the movie. So to kind of get our audience in the vibe and understand what we're dealing with here. Cut 72, play it right now.
I think this is the battleground culture issue in America today.
I believe that being pro-life is the most progressive value that we can have.
She's got to know when she takes that pregnancy test that her church is not going to treat her like the Pharisees tried to treat the woman caught in adultery.
As a church, we can't just vote pro-life. We have to be pro-love.
That's just a 30-second. I know you got some longer trailers as well, Tracy, but tell us about this film. tell us why you made it. The timing is unbelievable with the Dobbs leak, Justice Alito's majority draft opinion. What made you make this film?
Well, The Matter of Life clarifies the abortion issue. We tackle the issue of abortion from the science of embryology, the history of how we got to this point in our society. And we also incorporate powerful personal stories, redeeming personal stories of people overcoming just tremendous circumstances. And we also highlight just the amazing things that are actually going on in the pro-life movement right now, particularly on the pregnancy care side. And what sparked the vision for this film was actually when I first heard the pro-life case. This was back in 2016. I was commissioned on and off to do promotional and testimonial videos for a pregnancy resource center in California. I had never heard of a pregnancy center before. And I was very much in the mushy middle when it came to the abortion issue. I thought it was so nuanced. And I loved what the center was doing for women. I was really inspired. But when it came to abortion, I just thought, it's not really a big deal in the grand scheme of things. And I think if you were to ask me at that time, I would have said, well, I'm personally pro-life, but who am I to take away that choice for other women? And I would say that as an evangelical Christian. And so it wasn't until my friends at the pregnancy center invited me to an apologetics conference, and the topic was going to be the case against abortion. And I thought, well, I'll go and see what my pro-life friends are talking about. And in less than 2 hours, the speaker, Alan Schliemann of Stand to Reason, he gave a clear, concise argument for the full humanity of the unborn child at the moment of conception. And I was struck with just the truth that abortion kills an existing human being. He allowed us to look at fetal imagery and just the aftermath of abortion. And the truth suddenly hit me. And I was also struck with this vision that this needed to be a documentary film. But I had no idea about Roe v. Wade or the truth behind Planned Parenthood. I didn't know any of that. I wanted to know, how did we get to this point in our society? Has it always been this contentious? And so I started that research and that journey because I knew there were so many young adults in my shoes who had never really clearly heard the message before, have never been challenged to think about this issue beyond just the euphemisms they hear and just the ideology they pick up on in the media and at public schools. You know, I, like a lot of people, I went through the public school system and even went to church in my lifetime without hearing this message. And my family never broached the topic. So just a lot of people are in the dark.
Yeah. So again, we're talking with Tracy Robinson. She is the director of The Matter of Life, the new pro-life film that is. I'm half convinced that you leaked the Dobbs opinion. The timing is just so critical. Right. So thank you for releasing this film. Thank you for pushing so hard on it. You said two things that I thought were really interesting. You go to church, and you still were not. I don't know. I guess you would say not aggressively pro-life. You were not, you were sort of, you know, hands up, like, you do you, I'll do me, I guess I'm pro-life, but I don't want to tell you what to do. And so when I see these polls, when I see that says, you know, oh, most Americans want to leave Roe in place, they don't want to like upset the apple cart, I think of stories like yours, because you were somebody that was transformed when you heard the truth, when you understood the pro-life argument, and when you heard a compelling, convincing case of it presented to you, how much of, how much of that transformation do you say is about the message you heard, or was your heart just open to it? Is that what this film is about? Are you trying to bring more people along the journey that you yourself went through?
Absolutely. This film really reaches not only people's minds, but their hearts. I wanted to give them information and unravel this issue for them in a way that is compelling and clarifies a lot of questions that people have, understandably have. But I also wanted to just leave them with a transformed heart as well. This is a very emotional topic. And so we go into how much this issue affects people on a deep level. Obviously, it affects the preborn children, but it also just has a ripple effect in our lives, in our society. And so I wanted to give people that edifying experience and give them that hope that there are ways to tackle this issue in ways that are compassionate, in ways that are clear. And there's ways for us to do something about abortion in this country.
Mm. Yeah, I think the personal experience, I was just talking with Amber Athey, a reporter in DC in the previous segments about, what it's like to be a father, what it's like, I have two children, and that personal experience of going through, being pregnant, obviously my wife was pregnant, but going through that experience with her and seeing that life grow. And then, also having a number of friends actually that have gone through abortions and seen the trauma that causes often in their lives and the guilt that results in years past. I'm assuming you have those personal stories in there. I saw some of the reviews saying that, your movie forced these people to confront their own experience and in a compassionate, loving way. This movie feels very loving, full of understanding and love, but it's a very firm pro-life message. Is that a right description, do you think?
Yeah, some of the biggest advocates for this film are people with abortion in their past. Because after they see it, they realize this film is going to literally save lives. Mm. The information and just the message of this film, you can't unsee it. And so they know that this is a very preventative tool to show young adults, particularly, to shape their worldview and to inform them and to help them see clearly all the things that they see on social media and on the news. They can think for themselves on this issue. They know the choices that are out there. And they know that most importantly, that's a person, that's a human life that's growing inside of them. So when people are faced with a pregnancy decision, they can look back, with their shaped worldview and make the right choice.
Yeah. And I think that's the big message here. I think a lot of the polling is very skewed. I don't think Americans, most Americans, the casual observers, I mean, people that listen to this show might be very activated, might be very educated. But folks out there, if you're listening, know this. And I'm looking at Pew Research right now, broken down by religious affiliation and their views on pro-life. And this, the Pew broke it down as illegal in all cases or legal in some cases, basically. Catholics believe that it should be legal in all cases at a 48%, or it should be legal, I guess, here we go. Legal in all or most cases, the way Pew did it. So 48% of Catholics think that abortion should be legal in some or all cases. Get this, evangelical Protestants, 33% believe it should be legal in some or all cases. Jewish people believe it. 83% of Jews polled by Pew believe it should be legal. Mainline Protestants, 60%. So I want to compel the audience listening. If you think this is an issue that people have heard too much and they've been beat over the head or whatever, this is a message to say, spread the truth about abortion, spread the truth about when life begins at conception, that it is a precious child, and don't be afraid to do it and to do it lovingly. Films like yours, Tracy, are, I think, so critical in this fight, and I think we are winning this battle to save the unborn. I think we are winning. I think people are getting compelled and converted, just like your story. I'm so encouraged by your story that you were sort of like in the mushy middle, if you will, and all of a sudden you got lit on fire by this so much that you're releasing a film nationwide. I want people to know how they can get involved, how they can watch it. Please tell them where they can find the film. How do they watch it? All of the above.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can learn more and look for tickets in their area. It's coming to theaters this Monday and Tuesday, May 16th and May 17th, two nights only. And they can go to matteroflife.org to get tickets. That's not .com, it's .org. So they can go to matteroflife.org and learn more.
Okay, so everybody, I want you to go to matteroflife.org. I want you to buy 10 tickets, and I want you to fill that that theater with people that think they know better but really have never heard a compelling argument about why the pro-life position is really the only acceptable moral position. The tech is behind it. The morality is behind it. Our faith is behind it. We have to be unequivocal that life is worth protecting, and we are going to be a nation that protects life. So go to Matter, say it again, URL.
Matteroflife.org.
It's May 16th and 17th. You can get tickets there. Take your friends. Do not assume that people have heard too much about this. Tracy Robinson, you are the director of Matter of Life, the new film, the new pro-life documentary. Thank you for joining the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thanks for having me.
Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Super important announcement. Look, when you swipe your credit card, you're funding liberal causes. Dozens and dozens of times a month. Every time you swipe that card, you might as well do BLM, LGBT, Clinton Foundation. But now there's a choice. I got to know these guys. I vetted them. Check out the technology. I'm a partner with them. I'm all in. It's called COIN, C-O-I-G-N. It's a new credit card built for conservatives. I'm moving all my credit card activity under COIN. And the COIN credit card is an unlimited cashback Visa credit card that is just like every other credit card you've ever owned, with one huge exception. Every time you use the COIN card, they contribute to conservative charities that support your values. I'm using it, and you should too. Remember, we have to create a parallel economy, and this is a great new option. Act now. Go to COIGN.com right now to sign up to get a conservative COIN credit card. That's COIGN.com. Join COIN, and let's start spending right.
What a really fantastic story from Tracy. Her own conversion story on abortion, from being a churchgoer but sort of nominal on the issue about pro-life, didn't want to enforce her views on anybody else. And really, I think that's the prevailing sentiment of so many Americans, is that we are nice. We're a nice people. I think we're nice to a flaw, to a fault rather, and it is because we are trained to be polite, we're trained to smile, we're trained to wave, and all of these things are good things. However, when there is an assault on our fundamental core values, the value to protect life, the unborn, the time for being nice is over. I'm not saying don't do it lovingly. I'm not saying don't do it with compassion and just creatively. I'm not saying any of those things are, you don't throw those out the window. But what I am saying is that there is a massive education problem in this country when it comes to the issue of abortion. And most people don't know good arguments for why life begins at conception. One of the dumbest things you will ever hear from folks is that it's my body, my choice. That is the dumbest argument that they will use. And it's dumb for a couple of reasons, but namely, I mean, if we're going to talk about in the post-mandatory vaccine era that the left is pushing upon even young, our youngest children, the healthiest Americans, telling them, my body, my choice rings very hollow in the aftermath of that assault on civil liberties, on medical freedom and privacy. You want to talk about privacy? Goodness gracious. The left doesn't care about privacy. They never have. They care about privacy to do things that they want to do. I would say their vices. They want privacy to take drugs. They want privacy to abort their unborn children. It's an offensive thing. Now, unfortunately, there is some polling. Now, I think the polling goes both ways. But, you know, according to, again, this is Pew Research, the majority of adults say abortion should be legal, in some cases illegal in others. Okay, so we have illegal in most cases, according to Pew, is basically only 27%. Now, if you add in illegal in all cases, but there are some exceptions when abortion should be legal, that's 2%. Illegal in all cases, no exception, that's 8%. No answer would be 2%. You add all those up together, you're getting to about 40%. But then you've got 60% of adults that think that legal in all cases, no exception. That's 19%. What a hard line position that is. Legal in all cases, but there are some exceptions when abortion should be against the law. That's 6%. And legal in most cases, 36%. So this is an uphill battle. And what's a little bit discouraging here, if you look at Pew, and I don't necessarily believe the polling, but support for legal abortion is as high today as at any point in the survey history, which has been asking that question since 1995. All right. Now, if you do a survey of Americans who say they are relatively pro-life or pro-abortion, that number, you will often get a plurality that say that they are pro-life. But I think many are like Tracy, where it's they would describe themselves as pro-life, but they won't assert that opinion on others. Now, just think about how short-sighted that is. You are pro-life. You believe that in the sanctity of life, you might have faith that is undergirding those beliefs. And yet you're not willing to actually fight for the dignity of that child. You're not actually willing to fight that child could have life. Understand, folks, that you'll hear arguments like, well, that child's not viable. It needs the body of the mother. That's silly. When DNA is formed, that is a life. That is a unique human being. It is not the body of the mother. And the other thing, the other reason why that's silly is that life will grow. It's an imminent inevitability that life will grow and to become an adult human being, a baby child. So I just want to challenge once again, if you're listening in this audience, please do not assume that people are going to be hardened in their positions just because you are. Just because you are hardened in your pro-life stance does not mean that they are unchanging minds out there. We need to work harder than ever to save the unborn. And it's a fight worth having. It's a fight worth getting off the sideline for. So if that's you out there, I compel you, fight for life. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you support that film, The Matter of Life, and I hope you will also support this show. Go to charliekirk.com/support to become a monthly supporter of what we do here, the whole team. Even when Charlie's away, we keep the show going. So that's because of your guys' generous support. So please consider becoming a supporter if you're not already. It means the world to us. charliekirk.com/support. And also, if you want to send Charlie a note, he's reading all your emails. Just because he's away doesn't mean he's not peeking at his phone. I can promise you that. Send an email to freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. He's still reading them while he's away. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.